I've come to realize there really hasn't been a shortage of great paranormal stories over the years. Most people love to hear a spooky story now and then. In this podcast, Paranormal Memoirs tells great stories about the paranormal. This is another one.
Greetings, everybody. This is Paranormal Memoirs. It's been a while since I've been here. Decided to come on back and, you know, tell some new stories. So, before I get going, I wanted to say thank you to the viewers and the downloads for my newest show, Metal Freedom, my music show. I'm really pleased with it. I've got another great guest coming up on that this week, I think. So, as well as I have another episode coming up for Paranormal Saloon, which you will be able to find both those shows under Encompass Media, wherever you get your podcasts. So, going back and dreams, recorded a couple for the Paranormal Memoir show, but I just wasn't pleased with it, and so I decided to hold off. But now I'm here doing it again. So without further ado, let's get to it. So talking about dreams, me being a psychic medium, as well as an paranormal investigator and a researcher, I don't have a shortage of strange dreams. So every once in a while, I will get dreams that put me in somebody else's shoes, which usually means that there's a spirit that's trying to communicate or give me some idea of who it is, or if there's something that they've gone through and they want to share the story, or they want me to share their story. One particular story was, I was working with David Purdy. He is a photographer, videographer, director, paranormal investigator, and he was on a show back in, like, I think it was like 2016 and 17 of Ghosts in the Hood. And I interviewed him on Paranormal, Studio 6 Paranormal Podcast. I interviewed a couple of the cast members of that show and with David, and it was really good. So probably days after I kind of became friends with David, and we, you know, were talking intermittently about the upcoming show that I was going to have with him and these other members of this A&E television show, this paranormal investigative show. Sometimes that happens when I get, when I meet new people, or I connect with people. Sometimes I'll have dreams about something that is connected to that person. So in this instance, there was a place he actually was living in around Vegas. There was an old ranch way back in the day. It was a hotel, but it was I think it was in Reno, Nevada, if I'm not mistaken. And this particular instance was, he hadn't talked to me about it before. I mean, I don't remember him mentioning it, this hotel, but it's it was some type of ranch, but it was a hotel, and it was an old building and had a bunch of rooms, and it had two layers and it was made of all wood. So a couple days or a day or so before the had me that, and this was a first for me, that I was in a pool. I was deceased, but I was a female, and I was kind of floating in this pool with my head half in the water and looking up at what looked like a police officer or somebody. There was other officers there, but it was a period time, because it was basically the clothes that they were wearing looked like it was from like the 50s. And the only reason why I know that is because my parents were older when they had me. And my dad, I remember seeing pictures of my dad back in the 50s and the clothes that he would wear. And so that's what I had seen when I was this female and I was laying there dead in the water. And I was looking up and I could see the murkiness through the water. And I could see this guy standing there looking, this detective or whoever it was, looking down at me. And it was a weird sensation. I don't even know how to describe it. I wasn't in pain. I just felt, I really don't remember what I really felt. It was just really weird. So I remember that I had enough wits about me to say, okay, I'm dreaming somebody else's vision or memory. And I had seen police officers walking around the pool, and the one guy who I would think was a detective was standing there looking at me. I remember seeing the building, and I remember seeing what was around it. And shortly after that, I woke up. Now, I don't know why I told David Purdy about this, but he said, that sounds like some place that I know. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah. He says, sounds like there's this, I can't remember the name of it, but it's not there anymore. They tore it down. It's now a bunch of homes, like custom made homes and this and that. But it was a hotel where it was probably the 40s or 50s. It was kind of, it reminded me of, I got the feeling of it being kind of like mobbed up. You know, if people don't realize that, it's kind of like the mobsters of that era. So I was telling him about this, and then, you know, he said, yeah, he said that he has investigated that area a couple different times. And I can't remember the name of it. But anyways, so I described this place to him, and he says, yeah, it sounds like a place I investigated. So I said, so I told him what I saw. I told him where the bushes were. I told him where the building was, where the pool was, and that it had two tiers and it was all wood. And within a matter of a couple minutes, he sent me a picture through my phone on text, and it was exactly like I had seen in my dream. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, that's the place. I asked him, I said, do you know of anybody that had passed away there, or there was a dead girl in a pool? Or he said, no. And the one thing that I don't always have time to do, I probably should, but is to do the research and to do some background stuff. And he was going to look into it, but then we kind of lost touch after the interview and this and that. I talked to him once in a blue moon, but I'm curious to see if there was a report, a police report, or somebody, that a female that had died there, because I got the impression of that place that it was kind of like where people would go to have affairs and other things, and it was kind of shady, you know. And like I said, it felt like it was kind of mobbed up, but it was just really weird. Well, I was looking psychically, I was looking into it more, and there were more spirits there than I could really count. And a lot of them were, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but there was a handful of them that were female. And there was one particular. And what her name was, I don't know. Who she was, I know that she had like dirty blonde hair. She was wearing like a nightgown type dress type thing. And that's all I remember. And why I got that, or why I had that dream, I'm not sure. But when I did talk to my friend David about it, he said, you know, that he's been there and has gotten, you know, some really good EVPs there and this and that. So that's one of them that I had that kind of made me perplexed. And I still think about it a lot, and I still want to do some more research on it, but it's kind of hard to do. I did a little bit of research, but I didn't really finish it. I had so much on my plate, so many other things, but you know, I get dreams like that, not all the time, but enough to where I'd probably have to have a scrapbook. So, but anyways, I really don't know what that was, but I know that it was somebody else's memory. It wasn't mine, because I get this different feeling. I know that I'm me when I dream when I'm in somebody else's body. I have that sense of, I know my own feeling. I know that this is me, but I am inside portraying somebody else or reliving something that they went through. It's a strange feeling. I'm not sure how that happens or why it happens, but usually there's some people or some other mediums have said that it's because they want to try to communicate with you, and that's, they give you an example or like a memory of something of how they died and whatnot. So, but as of yet, excuse me, I am still investigating that. And it's still, to this day, it's still, I couldn't believe it when David sent me that picture. I about fell down. I mean, it was just the detail. What was weird was the detail that the picture that he sent me was all those bushes and the trees in the back and the little fence around the pool and all that stuff. The trees were, the picture that he took, the trees were way bigger now, because that's how I also knew that this picture or this dream that I had was from years ago, because the bushes were hardly even there and the tree was really small, wasn't really grown, whatnot. And the wood on the hotel didn't look really worn. It looked kind of newish, you know? And so, yeah, so that was another telltale sign, but yeah, so that was my, one of my dreams, I would say, dream that I've had only once. So another dream that I had, which I really liked, but it was really overwhelming. Talking about the night that Lincoln was shot. Yeah, I don't know all the particulars. I mean, I studied, you know, that in school when I was younger and whatnot and this and that. But in this dream, and I wasn't thinking about anything about that at that time, you know, one night I had a dream where I was standing on the bottom part of the balcony where the president was, where President Lincoln was. And we heard a ruckus, we heard a shot, and we, you know, heard people scrambling and this and that. And I had seen Booth jump down, take off, and I automatically, I felt like all of a sudden I was a doctor. I was somebody that was important. It was really weird. I could see the way I was dressed. I was dressed like I was supposed to in that period time period. And so we were trying to stop the bleeding. We were trying to get him on some type of, like a, not like a stretcher, but like a, I don't know, like a sheet or something. And we were carrying him down these stairs, and I kept smelling smoke, and I don't understand why I was smelling smoke. Well, we, now granted, I've never been in the Ford Theater. I don't know what the inside looks like. So we are, four of us or five of us were carrying him down. And I don't know if this actually happened because I didn't really research too much of that. I don't know how it all went down, but this is what I'm seeing and experiencing. And as I'm walking down these stairs and going down another set of stairs, and I'm smelling the smoke, and I'm like, why do I feel like it smells like a fire in here? Well, that will, I'll get to that in a minute, but we get down to the main floor and get down to the front door, and it was becoming so overwhelming. And I had to force myself. I was like, really, like in the middle of the street, I had to forcibly remove myself out of this person's memory because it was too much. The emotions and everything was just intense. And I flew out of this person's body, and I went like a half a block away, and I stopped and I stood there, and I could see this transpire as they carry his body across the street to the house across the street. That was unreal. And that to me was, I don't know what that was. I don't know who it was. Like I said, I haven't really researched that. I kind of log these memories or these dreams in my brain, and then I kind of try to go back and research. And I have a little bit, but the research that I did get was, when I saw the interior pictures of the theater, the only picture that came up was a picture after a fire that had happened there. And it was weird. Now, I don't know. This could just be a picture of something on the internet that just says that. I don't know. But, I mean, it looked all dilapidated and torn up and this and that. And I saw the path that I was going, and I saw the stairs, and I'm like, okay. So the validity of that to me was really moving. Now, I love the history of President Lincoln and everything about him. I have a thing with the Civil War and all that, and which I hope to be going to Gettysburg this year. But for this dream that I had, this is one of many that I've had, that I've always, that I'm somebody else. And that I experienced what the emotional state of that in this instance was too much. I mean, this was really, I don't even know how to describe it. It was intense. It's kind of like being in a, I don't know, it was like I just felt charged, but I had to forcibly remove myself. And when I did, it was almost like I got shot out of this person, and I got shoved a half a block, like standing there, and I could see this all playing out in a distance. And it was just really bizarre. But yeah, so that's my Lincoln dream. I don't know who the gentleman was. I, like I said, I'm still researching that. That was probably a year ago. And when I get too much stuff on my plate, I usually just put stuff on the back burner and then I don't get to it. So yeah, I'm known for that, 'cause I keep adding and adding. But so yeah, so those are the two of the dreams that I've had that have been really just bizarre. I used to have dreams, really strange dreams when I was a kid. And I like nightmares, you know, but not like these. Every once in a while, I'll get, when I close my eyes, I'll get either another set of eyes looking back at me, or I'll get a face of somebody that is like staring at me or something, or a still shot, like a photograph. To me, I'm not sure what to do with those. If I got that picture, if I got that image of that person more often, then I would try to research. But every once in a while, I get little glimpses of that intermittently, and it's not constant. You know, if this same person came to me constantly, then I would be like, okay, what's going on and what do you want? How can I help? And this and that, you know, so. But yeah. So there's been some really strange dreams that I've had that I can't explain. I've had another one that involved a picture. I had one that a good friend of mine, Josh Hughes, who's also a cameraman and paranormal investigator, and he was doing a pitch deck for a paranormal team for a TV show back a few years ago. And he had asked me if he could send me a picture of a place, because this paranormal team was thinking about buying this property because they thought it was haunted or whatnot. Well, the night before, I had this dream where I saw this farm, and I saw this, like the fence and the trees and the barn, and it was a farm basically. And I also see a bunch of officers and like feds, you know, back from the day, like the 1930s and 40s or whatever it was. And they were standing around this white picket fence and they were calling this person out. And I'm standing there on the other side of the fence looking at it like the back door was on my left or my right, and these guys were on my left. And I was like kind of like standing there watching this. And all of a sudden, I'm like transported into this house right behind this guy who's wearing period clothing with, you know, the dress pants, but a wife beater shirt. And he had a snub nose. I think it was a snub nose, 32 or something like that, in his waistband. And he was standing there behind this door. And all of a sudden, I am this guy. And I'm like, what is going on? And the door opens and I run out and I start shooting this small caliber gun and trying to hit these cops or these G-men or whatever they were then. And I was yelling, and I was kind of like, I felt like I was just along for the ride. And all of a sudden I could hear other gunshots coming at me, but when I got hit, I felt pressure, and I felt like intense, like somebody would stick your thumb and kind of like dig it into your chest, you know, and it leaves a mark. I mean, and it really hurts. Well, I had like four or five of those in my whole body, and it was like, it's hitting me constantly, maybe more than five. And I could feel that intense pressure. And then all of a sudden I started slowing down before I could get to this fence, and I fell over and everything went black. Then I woke up. Well, come to find out later on, this was probably a couple days before, you know, that he was asking me. This was happened before he asked me about the picture he was going to send me. So he sent me this picture, and lo and behold, it's the same farmhouse with the picket fence and the trees, and the barn was missing a barn, but it was supposed to have two in the back, and then one was white and one was gone. But the tree that was small, the couple trees that were small back there, one of them was missing, and the one of them on the far side was really big. And there was another one that was half that size. And I was like, holy crap. And that was the house. Now, another medium had said that it was a wannabe gangster that lived with his aunt and all this other stuff. Come to find out that the person that was telling me this was full of crap. So I took it with a grain of salt. I'm like, whatever. Now, I haven't researched that either. I need to ask my buddy Josh about it to try to figure out what it was that, or what happened to that whole thing that they were going to purchase this. Well, I did find out that the farm is actually in not too far from Chicago. So that would make sense for a gangster or whatnot and this and that. I could tell you, this guy wasn't that tall and he had dark hair and I don't know who he was. Now, if I was to research all of the dreams that I've had, I could probably write a pretty good book. As long as I had the validation to coincide with what I've experienced and what I had seen. But that's a project that, maybe soon, maybe sometime I'll get to, but I just wanted to be able to share a couple of those dreams with everybody that this is my normal. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but there's times that some of them aren't as strong and I don't remember them, you know, but there's other ones that are really strong and it feels like I was actually there. So that is my paranormal memoir story of a few of my dreams. Now, I probably will end up telling more, but I kind of want to do a little bit more research on some of them that I've already had so that I could bring a little bit more validation, a little bit more proof of what I've seen and what I've experienced in those dreams so that I could, you know, bring that up on another episode. So, yeah, but it's really weird. It makes for an interesting dream. I mean, dreams, I should say. You know, my dreams are never normal. A lot of them are odd, but yeah, I've had some strange ones, you know, and I've got, you know, more that I can remember, you know, I just have to kind of put them together, but so that's it for this half episode. I just wanted to share this with you. I needed to get some of these stories out. I need to keep my paranormal memoirs episodes going. So I appreciate people who are, you know, listening to these on your podcast. I've got more great stories and paranormal stories and kind of scary ones and goofy ones. So, but it's just part of my life. It's just part of what I experience and what I go through on a daily basis. You know, I'm always surrounded by something paranormal, which is, it's normal for me. I'm used to it. So that's it. Everybody, I want to thank you again. And I will be going live with a guest for Paranormal Saloon on YouTube probably Thursday of this week, which would be the 19th, yeah, of this month. 6/19/25. So, and I also have another new guest from my metal show, Metal Freedom, which I'm really enjoying that. It's a fun show to do. So yeah, we also did a one-off on Cemetery Files. We brought that back for one episode with me and Kelly Schaefer. So check that out. That is really good. That is also under Encompass Media, N-Compass Media. I know it's kind of weird. I know it's, you know, but if you're listening to this, you know, you can read it. You can see what it says. So You can find me on YouTube. You can find me, Jay Hill, on Facebook, Instagram, Jay Paranormal on TikTok. You know, I'm trying to grow my TikTok. I want to be able to do more lives on TikTok and whatnot, just because of the fact that I have a lot of friends that are on there that love to see some of the stuff I put up there. So, having said that, I want to thank everybody again. Thanks for following me. And everybody, have a fantastic Monday.